Matthew chapter number 5. If you're familiar with this passage, you'll know that this is the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5. One bad thing for a preacher is to forget his notes, but what's worse is to lose his Bible. I've done both of these before. Matthew chapter number 5. Okay, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1, and then we'll skip down to verse number 13. The Bible says, "And seeing the multitudes," talking about Jesus, "he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and when he opened his mouth, he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." Verse number 13 is what I want to look at this morning. But I want you to think about the context here. You have Jesus and the disciples. This is not all of the multitudes. This is just the disciples. And you have Jesus talking to the disciples. And he gives them all these, we call them beatitudes, but all these things. Blessed are you if you have this. You might call them characteristics or character traits. Basically, blessed are you if this is in you. If this is part of you. If this character trait is yours. But then he comes down to verse number 13, and he says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." You know, I think the application here is the salt is the Christian. Okay, so Jesus saying all the Christians are the salt of the earth. You know, here this morning I have a can of soup. It's baked potato and cheddar and bacon bits. It's some kind of a soup. Anyways, all canned foods especially have salt in them. In my pocket, I have this little one. It's called a half teaspoon. In this can, there's only that much salt in this can. Now, that's quite a bit of salt for food. But it's a very small portion of the can. This can would taste nothing like good soup that you want to eat if the salt was missing. I don't know if you've ever been sitting there and they start eating the food and the cook goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry, guys, I forgot to put the salt in." Because everybody realizes it because it's really, really bland without salt. And the Bible says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." I want you to think about this morning, the small portion of the earth, the small portion of people in the world are Christians. The first thing here is the idea that this you're only a small portion. Sometimes we think because we're the minority, we can't our vote doesn't matter. You know, whatever we think doesn't matter. You know, in my family, I'm 1 of 10. But not only am I 1 of 10, I'm one of the younger ones. So what I think doesn't really hold a whole lot of weight. It's just a fact, okay? And sometimes we as Christians, we think, well, there's just not enough of us. We can't make a whole lot of difference. And sometimes you think, because I'm a young person, or because I'm a child, or because I don't have the gift of gab, or because I'm not like somebody else, I can't do something. I want you to understand the Bible says ye are the salt of the earth. Not only does that mean you are not the majority, but it also means that you can have impact like salt does. A little bit of salt goes a long ways. You know, not only does salt make food taste good, but salt is a preservative. That's why you find it in a lot of prepared foods. You find a lot of salt, even more than maybe would taste good sometimes, because it's there to preserve it. So think about it as this morning, when Jesus said to the disciples, "Ye are the salt of the earth," the picture he was trying to get across to them, I believe, is number one, you are the minority. But you can have a tremendous impact on the world. You can make a tremendous influence for the cause of Christ, even though you are very few in number. The first thing we see here is salt. You are salt of the earth. There are many different kinds of salt. Salt comes in almost every color. You can get sea salt. It's the most expensive kind and it's used for special flavor. You can get rock salt, which is the cheapest, and that's what they put on roads and to melt ice in different places. You could also get refined salt. And people like refined salt because every grain is exactly the same size and it's easy to measure. But there are different kinds of salt for different purposes. God made each and every one of us for a different purpose. You know, when I was your age, I was really scratching my head. God, why did you want me to go to Kenya? All of my friends are better at talking in front of people than I am. Why did you choose me to be a missionary? You know, as a missionary, we talk in front of people all the time. And as a young person, I just wanted to know, would I ever enjoy it? Okay, the day has come. I actually do enjoy getting in front of people. But think about this. Ye are the salt of the earth. God has a purpose for this salt. You're a minority, but you can make a big difference for the cause of Christ, even though you are a minority. So first thing I want you to think about is, ye are the salt of the earth. The second thing I want you to think about is this idea that salt can lose its flavor. So I looked up, I'm trying to figure out what causes salt to lose its flavor. The Bible says in verse number 13, but if the salt has lost its savor. So it's an if. So what caused us as Christians to lose our flavor or to lose our impact? You look up what causes salt to lose its flavor. The first thing that causes salt to lose its flavor is because it's not pure salt. When you think that you have salt, and maybe it tastes like salt, and it has most of the properties of salt, it looks like salt, but it was not actually pure and has other things inside of it, it will not keep as long. And so if it's not pure, it will not keep as long. The application here is that when we as Christians have bad things inside us, in our heart, this will keep us from keeping our flavor. This will keep us from making a difference for the cause of Christ. If I, David Smith, have the wrong things inside my heart, if I have pride, if I'm selfish, I'm going to have a hard time being a witness for the cause of Christ like God wants me to be. So the first thing, if I want to be salt of the earth, and I want to make the difference that God wants for my life, I have to be very careful to look inside myself and make sure that I haven't put something inside that's not salt. So you think about a salt. Well, one of the things is what's inside of it. The second thing is when humidity gets in salt, it then evaporates later when it's heat is hotter or whatever, and humidity leaves. It takes some things with it. And then you have what looks like salt, but the chemical properties are not there for salt. And then you have salt that's worthless. How many of you have ever gotten a salt shaker and you started putting it on your food and you took a bite and you're like, I don't taste it. You put another little more on there. And if you keep going, eventually, you know, maybe it starts tasting grainy and you still don't taste the salt because salt has lost its savor. You know what that salt is good for? It's good for nothing. You don't put it somewhere in a dry place and hope that it gets salty again. You know, it's good for nothing. And so notice with me the importance of salt having its flavor. That is the most important thing about salt, is for it to retain its flavor. You know, for us as Christians, it's important that we don't allow wrong things into our life. You watch the wrong things with your eyes. You hear the wrong things with your ears. And it's just a matter of time it's going to come out. And when it comes out, you're not going to have the influence that God wants you to have. You're not going to be able to make a difference for the cause of Christ. You're not going to have that huge impact, even though you're a minority, when you allow the wrong things inside of you. Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall be salted? What good is it? You know, for us as Christians, when we think about being the salt, think about how that we have to be careful that it doesn't get contaminated. It's very important that you store salt in a dry place. It's very important that you have pure salt. You know, for us as Christians, sometimes we think that
it's not that big of a deal for me to watch this show. You know, it's not the best thing. It's not that big of a deal for me just to enjoy this one bad song on the radio. But it's just a matter of time that's going to come out. You know, you can put water in salt. Instantly, it does not lose its saltiness. But if you put it on a stove or you put it out to dry and all that water goes away, it's going to lose its saltiness. You know, it's just a matter of time. If you listen to the wrong kind of music, you watch the wrong kind of things with your eyes, and you're putting all that bad stuff in, that bad stuff's going to go. That bad stuff's going to come out your mouth. That bad stuff's going to come out your actions. And you're going to lose your testimony for Jesus Christ. So understand, ye are the salt of the earth. Very important for us as Christians to think about what we're putting in. You know, for me, I feel like right now in my life, I'm just about getting squeezed. I mean, like there's a little bit of pressure on me, you know? And so I feel like now it's more important than ever for me to have a walk with God. When we bought our plane tickets, I don't know, you guys all read our prayer letter or not. We bought our plane tickets, we were taking out a step of faith. You know, you go back about June about June, we were getting really anxious to finish Deputation. Okay, we've been on the road for a year and a half. In the month of June, we were out for about 6 weeks away from our house. And, you know, we don't really care anymore to go see, you know, beautiful mountains and all these great landmarks. We were just in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and the kids were sick. But they're telling us about how beautiful the view of the mountain is. And honestly, we really didn't care because we've seen a lot of things. And we're not, wanting to see anything else. We just want to go home. We want to go home so bad that we got in the van Sunday night after church and we drove all the way here. It was 11 and a half hours or whatever, you know, because we want to be home. You know, so I'm trying to say is if you're not careful as a Christian, you just kind of get lackadaisical about what you put in. I was going with that story, but talking about in June how much we wanted to finish Deputation. Then we met Brother Bowman. It was in the month of September, and he was telling us different things that we needed money for when we were in Africa, different kinds of crises and different kinds of expenses and things that you're having. And these are real things that happen to missionaries. They have happened for years, and they still happen. Some of them are maybe, and some of them are for sure. And we started looking at, you know, start figuring out how much money we have coming in and how much more we think we might have coming in. And we go, oh, no. We got a problem. Well, maybe we need to stay on Deputation a little longer. And so we knew that we were going to be with Pastor. We're going to be here for a couple days in October. And so we were going to talk to Pastor about when we should leave. And so we're praying about it. You know, God, should we really leave in January? Is this still your plan? And, you know, support's coming in, but we're not quite there yet. And so we're praying about it. We go to a mission conference there in Pennsylvania. And God just told me, hey, David, I want you to buy these plane tickets. And for me, that was like pressure. Okay, you just got to trust me. Well, now we're getting down to the end, and we have most of our support in, but we're still not quite there. And as far as what's recommended, there's even like more that's recommended. So we're like on the low end of things, and then we're not quite to the low end of things. And so it's getting more real, as my wife would say. It's getting really real. Okay, we're just about to leave. We have, I think, about 4 weeks before we leave. But I want you to think about how important it is for me to have the right things inside me. You know, whenever somebody's under pressure, you find out what they're made of. When you have a can of soup and you put it under a lot of pressure, you find out what's inside of it. If you drive over this with a car, all of the contents will come out of it. Okay? When as a Christian, you put under pressure, all of the contents come out of it. All of what's inside you come out. You know what happens to some people when they're put under pressure? They yell and they get really upset. And sometimes you find out if they cuss because it comes out of their mouth. What was inside comes out. And that's why it's so important that before you get under pressure, you know what's inside you. You put the right things inside you. Look, think about this. Ye are the salt of the earth. But what difference can you make if you've lost your flavor? We talked about what causes you to lose your flavor. It's because you got the wrong things inside you. And it's also because you allow bad things inside your life. Notice with me, the opposite of that is to put good things in. When you watch the right kind of things, when you read the right kind of books, when you listen to the right kind of music, right things just naturally come out of you. You can just be walking along and you'll be singing a Christian song instead of a bad song. And notice with me, the last point here is salt that has lost its savor is good for nothing. If salt has lost its savor, it will no longer melt ice. It will no longer flavor food. There is good for nothing. The Bible says you just throw it out where people walk and so people can walk on it because it's absolutely worthless. Think about it today. How would God describe you? Oh, they're a little bit salty. They've got a little bit of flavor. Or would God say, hey, this one is full of flavor. I can put this Christian anywhere I want and they're going to make a difference for the cause of Christ. Or he can say, you know what, I can put that person anywhere in the world and they're going to fit in. They're going to be just like the world because they're no different. Because of the things that they put inside them. Think about salt that's lost its savor. If you find table salt that's lost its savor, it still looks like little grains of salt. It's still white. You don't have to look worldly to have lost your flavor. You know, you can deceive your neighbor into thinking that you're a good Christian. But God, who can look inside a little grain of salt and see what's inside of it, looks inside of our heart and he knows what's in our heart. We can't deceive God as to what we're made of. Another thing to think about is pure salt kept in a dry place will last forever. You know, Christians, if you put the right thing in, you put the Word of God in, you listen to the right kind of music, you can have an impact for the cause of Christ as long as God lets you live. Notice with me, Jesus said in his comparison to the disciples, as ye are the salt of the earth. Salt, when it's preserved, will last forever. Jesus preserves us so that we can live forever. Everyone else who is not saved dies forever in hell. But we live forever. Think about, are you salty today? Would you make a difference if God placed you somewhere? Or would you fit in? You know, for us as missionaries, we come into a church. It's a common thing that people see us in a suit. If I drop in the church, we haven't dropped in a church for a long time. But if I drop into a church and we just show up somewhere, people usually will just look at us and they'll see all the kids dressed up and they'll go, are you guys missionaries? Because we don't fit in. And salt doesn't just fit in. It makes a difference. And so think about it this morning. Are you salty? Look in your heart and think about what's in your heart. What kind of things do you just dwell on when you're not doing school, when somebody's not talking to you, when you just go to think about whatever you think about throughout the day? When you go to daydreaming, what do you daydream about? Are you ashamed of what you daydream about? Are you ashamed of what's in your heart? Or would you be glad to tell somebody what you're thinking about? Let's pray.